T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Fourth and final hour, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. We had to get over the disappointment, the overwhelming disappointment of not visiting with the Stanley Cup today, but we have been assured we will visit with the Stanley Cup next week.
Well, I'll believe it when I see it, Dale.
Hey, if Philip Pritchard makes a promise, my friend, he keeps it.
Is that right?
If you can follow him on Twitter, at Keeper of the Cup.
He's also Keeper of Promises?
Well, didn't say that
so
much.
Okay.
Well, I don't think this one was his fault.
We'll find out. Now, does he have a driver, or does he drive the cup around? I feel like in that position, you should probably have a driver of some sort. Because what if, say, hypothetically, somebody was like, hey, Phil, let's fill this thing up with beers and drink it. You can't have him driving to the next city.
One would hope not.
No, you wouldn't do that. That's irresponsible.
And if, God forbid, he ever got in an accident and something, and he was not
conscious, to
say, what happens to the cup?
It's stolen. Somebody would steal it and then sells it on eBay. How much do you think the cup would go for?
Yeesh.
Open market.
Well, you have to go black market with it, but in the open market?
Isn't it sort of like if you steal some priceless painting?
I never understood that.
Because what are you going to do? You can't hang it on the wall.
Yeah, you get the Mona Lisa.
The black market, guys.
I'm going to sell it.
Yeah, but what do you do with it?
But then you know you can't even tell people you have it.
I mean, a huge hockey fan in, say, Europe or Russia easily could.
Oh, yeah. Russia.
If it's sold on the black market.
I could see that happening.
They don't know any better.
Putin.
A wealthy man in St. Petersburg just has it up in his living room.
That's a good point. But hey, look at that.
Okay.
That's a conversation starter, Rossi, if you own the Stanley Cup.
So when the cup is here next week, Rossi.
Try not to steal it.
If you steal it.
Yeah.
Don't tell anybody you have it, okay?
Mm-hmm. I'll do my best.
All right, good.
Dale, have you seen? So this is a couple of days old, but we haven't had a chance to talk about it yet. Jeff Howe in The Athletic, he has 10 questions Patriots must still answer before the new season. And we will rip through these, and you can give me your opinion on where these are. So number one, how will N'Keal Harry stick out with and without Tom Brady at practice? So I'm with him on that being an important thing. They've never used a first-round pick on a wide receiver. And he's not going to have Tom Brady at these OTAs, but then once the mandatory stuff happens in, 2 weeks or so, Brady's going to be there.
I'm probably downplaying the lack of OTA reps because I just don't think it's a real football.
Because last year, what were the OTA? Did not matter, ultimately, for Brady.
Yeah, to me, OTA. Now, if he wasn't there at mandatory minicamp, if he wasn't there at training camp,
different story.
Then you'd have an issue, but that's not the case.
Number two, where can the Patriots buy a spot for Rex Burkhead? And Howe goes on to say, Belichick prefers to keep 4 true running backs on the active roster, exceptions being in 11 and 15 when they didn't carry a fullback due to James Devlin's broken leg, 17 when Brandon Bolden was cut and re-signed. Now there are 4 backs who are roster locked, Sony Michel and James White, Damian Harris as a third-round pick, and Bolden, who obviously is a special teams guy, but $2 million guaranteed.
We're counting James Devlin separately, right?
Yeah, that's what it looks like here.
Fullback.
Yes, counting him separately.
Because he ain't going anywhere.
So Rex Burkhead.
Andy Hart will take hostages if James Devlin gets cut.
It'll just be like article after article after article. It'll be like, listen.
On WEEI.com.
Yeah, you got to move on from the Devlin talk. I think that's a good question. Rex Burkhead, is there room for him on the team?
I think maybe not.
He's always hurt, too, is the other problem. When he's out there, he's not bad, but I feel like he's hurt a lot.
Generally, and they don't always get locked into this sort of thing, but you figure that if Bill Belichick spent a third-round pick on a running back, chances are he's going to be here.
Damian Harris 100% will be here. Yeah. Now, last year they ran into some issues with some of their rookies. Almost all of them were on the IR at one point in the year, so we'll see how he makes it through, but I would assume those guys are there. Burkhead does give you some special team stuff, which they like, but I think that could be one of those big names. I mean, big enough name anyway that doesn't make it through. Number three, which up-and-comers can increase their stock as valued contributors? He says, in 2018, left guard Joe Tooney was the most improved player on the roster. Center David Andrews solidified himself among the NFL's upper tier, and cornerback John Jones. Who knows John Jones now?
Wow.
Flash during the
regular
season.
What happened to Jonathan? Did we shorten it?
Dropped it.
Phone.
Friend of the show. friend of the show, John Jones.
The worst phone of all
time. Clean line. So who's next?
He was figured if he changed his name, we wouldn't know that it was him.
Yeah, it's a different guy altogether. He said the Patriots would love to see it'd be Derek Rivers or defensive lineman Dietrich Wise. Adam Butler have also been intriguing pass rushers, though both experienced a sizable drop in playing time last year. He goes on to talk about Isaiah Wynn, Juwan Bentley, Philip Dorsett, Duke Dawson. So he throws a bunch of names out here. I would hope of these...
Obi Melifonwu.
It could be Obi Melifonwu.
I just wanted to say it.
That's a good name.
Yeah, thanks.
My hope is Isaiah Wynn.
I can't say intra-squad.
No, but you got Obi Melifonwu, no problem. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
So my hope of the players that make a big jump, it would be Isaiah Wynn. Now, maybe that's kind of...
He better.
A jump from anything.
You're in trouble if he doesn't.
Right. Because Belichick talks about that year one to year two,
yeah.
and like what those guys can do. And even though he didn't play, he was on the team for that whole time. So I think he's going to be really important. You see anybody else? I mean, defensive end's important, too. Like, Rivers seems to this point to be
this,
kind
this
of
this seems
a
make it or break it stage of his career, doesn't it?
I think so. Number four, what happens if Jarrett Stidham closes the gap with Brian Hoyer?
Legitimate question. I mean, you spent a draft pick on this guy. I can't picture them keeping four quarterbacks. I know they did that famous year when Tom Brady was the fourth quarterback. I can't picture them keeping four. I guess the question is, would they part ways with Brian Hoyer? Boy, he seems like a real security blanket
they
for
like
Brady,
him.
Though, doesn't he?
They like him a lot. I know
you don't so much.
No, but. I don't at all. I don't think you win anything with them, but they like him.
Yeah.
And Brady likes him. So Brady and Stidham are the only locks on the team. I think Etling is definitely gone. And then it's just a matter of if they feel like Stidham is good enough to be the true backup, then like would you rather have Brian Hoyer or Rex Burkhead on your roster?
Right.
And it might come down to that.
And like presumably Burkhead would do something for you.
Right.
Where you hope to never see Brian Hoyer in a game. Now they've cut Brian Hoyer in the past.
Yeah.
When Ryan Mallett overtook him,
right.
They didn't cut him, but they moved on from him.
Because they had all three for a little bit because they weren't sure because Mallett wasn't ready to be the backup. So it's really up to Stidham. So I could see him having the two, but my guess right now is that they'll have three. Like they'll find a way to open up a roster spot for him. Number five, what to do with Duke Dawson? As Jeff Howell points out, a second-round pick in 2018, Dawson didn't play as a rookie. He tore his hamstring and wound up on injured reserve for half the season before his activation and then remained on the game day inactive list. The team wanted to see more from him behind the scenes, and it was an eye-opener when the Pats didn't even give him a chance to dress in the regular season finale against the Jets.
And doesn't it seem like corner is one of the areas where they've got some depth?
Yeah, that's not an easy position to get a lot of time at. I mean, even John Jones, the aforementioned John Jones is certainly not a bad player. They have maybe the best corner in the league, or on the very short list, in Stephon Gilmore. McCourty had a great year ago. J.C. Jackson, undrafted, is definitely ahead of Duke Dawson on the depth chart.
Keon Crossen.
Yeah, probably better, too.
Yeah.
So Duke Dawson, and again, that was a second-round pick. So that's interesting. And also from Howe's article, he says, although Belichick has had some misses in the second round, he's never cut a second rounder prior to the conclusion of his third training camp. Defensive tackle Dominic Easley, a 2014 first rounder, was released after his second full season with the Pats. So that's the bar for the earliest high round ouster. When was Rozai Dowling cut? I feel like Dowling didn't make it that long, and he was a second round pick. He was the first pick of the second round. But corner...
Roz IR, darling.
Roz IR. Yeah,
it,
poor
yeah.
guy. So maybe he actually didn't get cut. Maybe just IR.
Couldn't
but
play.
Like, Cyrus Jones was a... now, they brought him back. But Cyrus Jones was a second-round pick. That position isn't as bad as wide receiver, like track record-wise. But you go through the corners, there was a lot of missed corners. Now, they've also hit on some corners, but that has been a tough spot.
Yep.
Number six, why do the Patriots have specialized linebackers coaches? That is really inside football, huh?
Inside and outside linebackers.
Yeah. I think
Gerard Mayo is a rookie. He's kind of getting his feet wet. You know, let's not put too much on his plate to start. Yeah, you know, let's let him focus on inside here, and you know, we'll give him some help with the outside linebacker stuff. That'd
I think
be my
so.
Guess.
Yeah, that's my guess, and it's a little bit less of a responsibility for him. So that's kind of where I would go too. Number seven, will Ben Watson alleviate the concerns at tight end?
Yeah, baby.
Oh, you just want that to be true.
I want it to be true.
You want
I
that
really
to be
do.
True so bad.
He's played 16 regular season games, four of the last 5 years.
Yeah, he had a little resurgence there with Drew Brees.
7 of his last 10. He's played all 16. At the very least, he'll be there for you probably.
Yes. Oh, yeah. He'll probably be healthy. Now, the thing tight end-wise, so again, Austin Seferian-Jenkins, who is not going to OTAs, Matt Lacoste, Ryan Izzo, Steven Anderson, that's what you have on the roster right now at tight end. But there have been on-again, off-again rumors for Kyle Rudolph.
Kyle Rudolph, which I would be all in favor of.
I would be all in favor of. And who was it? Was it Henry McKenna, you guys said? USA Today was the most recent to say that the Patriots are engaged in trade talks.
Yes, with the Vikings.
I haven't seen a lot of other people pick that up.
I hope it's true.
I really do hope it's true.
That'd be great.
He would without question be their number one tight end. Number 8, who will return kickoffs? And he says, seriously,
no Cordarrelle Patterson, no Deion Lewis.
Right, those guys are gone. So who is returning kickoffs? Not that kickoffs really matter that much anymore.
Devin McCourty's done it in the past. I'm not sure they love the idea.
Yeah.
Patrick Chung has done it in the past. I'm not sure they love the idea.
No, I don't like that at all.
Julian Edelman, no thank you.
Didn't LeGarrette Blount return kickoffs at one point? Remember?
Yeah.
You're like, what the heck? Yeah, I don't know. I mean, maybe it's... You look at the cornerbacks, the running backs, the receivers. It doesn't seem like they have any of those kickoff kind of specialists.
Let's just say that there's an open spot on the team.
You could take a job there.
Real quick, Rozai Dowling was on the roster for just under 2 years.
Yeah, so wouldn't he fall into the same count as Duke Dawson? I mean, maybe it's the timing of it. Maybe it's an IR situation. But I feel like he didn't last very long at all. How many games did he play total? Less than 16?
Half a game.
Good, thank you. Number 9, are the Patriots in better shape at left tackle than expected? Now, this Hal wrote this article late last week, so it was
when
before
he thought Jared Vildy.
Thank you. No, he's not here anymore. So I don't think they can be better off.
No.
Trent Brown was pretty good. And so aren't you hoping that at best case scenario, Isaiah Wynn is like Trent Brown? I would be surprised if he was better. Now, over the long term, he definitely could be better.
As Hal points out, over the last 2 years, you've lost Nate Solder, Trent Brown, Cameron Fleming, and LaAdrian Waddle from the tackle spot.
Right.
That is not good. And now they just lost another one.
Mm-hmm.
They lost Jared
Vildy.
Thank you.
Yeah, he's gone.
We're so much better in rehearsal.
It did. Well, no, it's all right. We haven't had a lot of talk about him this offseason.
Yeah.
And the last one, and again, this is very inside football here, but number 10, according to Jeff Howe, offseason questions for the Patriots. How will...
You just want to say it, don't
Obi
you?
Obi Melifonwu handle the most important offseason of his career? And I know what you're thinking. Melifon who? Come on, Dan. We like to have fun on the show. Come on. Melifonwu was blessed with a lifeline last season when Belichick brought him aboard. The 2017 second-rounder flamed out with the Raiders due to injuries, but the 6'4", 224-pounder is physically gifted enough to see what he's got in the Pats' chameleonic defense. That's a nice word. If the draft hype was deserved, Melifonwu could become a defensive specialist who thrives in matchup-based situations, and that could be enough for a full-time role. Or maybe Melifonwu struggles to live up to those expectations in his second stop. He says, one thing is for sure, with safety Patrick Chung rehabbing from shoulder surgery, Melifonwu could monopolize the practice reps throughout the spring, which will give Belichick the chance to figure out if he's uncovered something. This would likely be Melifonwu's best chance to establish himself as an NFL player. So let's see what he's got. Overall, I think that means the Patriots, surprisingly, don't have a whole lot of questions.
No, yeah, I was going to say.
You know what I mean? Like, I think, you know, good
why
article
do they have
and whatever
and
else.
Outside linebacker coaches.
Yeah, like that. That means you're in a pretty good
Who's
spot.
Who's going to return punts?
Now, I think the first one...
The left tackle question is legit.
Left tackle and N'Keal Harry. Like, what? If he's good, then you know what? I think the offense is going to be all right. Like, yeah, you would always, every year, you can make the argument, give Brady a couple more guys. Really, every year besides 07 and 17, you could say, hey, give Tom Brady a few more guys. But if N'Keal Harry is good, that one is promising. Now, I also thought Brady's contract extension would come up on here, but maybe he's just talking more, you know, like on-field type of deal. But I think that's another thing that you would expect to happen at some point between now and the start of the year.
617-779-7937. Let me give you one update from St. Louis. Tonight, the St. Louis Blues host the San Jose Sharks. St. Louis wins. They face the Bruins in the Stanley Cup Final. San Jose will be without Tomas Hertl and Erik Karlsson. They are both out of tonight's game. Joe Pavelski is a game-time decision.
They are goosed and porked.
This is goosed and porked. This does not look good for the Sharks.
So the St. Louis Blues will be coming to Boston next
for Monday.
That
would, I mean, miracles can happen. I understand that.
Yeah.
But Hertl and Karlsson are officially out, according to their head coach, Pete DeBoer.
Well, Karlsson kind of looked like he's been out.
He's been out for a while.
Yeah.
And Joe Pavelski will be a game-time decision. When the reporters went in the dressing room before they met with the media, neither Karlsson nor Hertl had a stall in the visitors' dressing room. That's probably a pretty good indication.
Yeah, they're not going to be
probably not
going to
be
this.
Playing for you.
Nope,
so they are both out for tonight.
Okay.
The Sharks are probably goosed and porked.
Yeah, I would say so.
617-779-7937. House is in Dorchester. Hey, House.
How you doing, Mr. Dale? I used to call in when Mike was on the show.
We haven't had too many houses call. I remember you.
Okay, yes, sir. First off and foremost, let me just say I really and truly, you know, appreciate your knowledge and like the way you do your thing. But what I want to say is, so you was talking about the jersey
right.
of Aaron Hernandez and OJ.
Right.
So what I wanted to say is, if a player wanted to wear that jersey, and, you know, I don't think that he should feel any type of way because of how it was represented. As long as he represents it the right way, the jersey doesn't carry over the character or the morals or anything of that person. So it's not like if OJ wears a button-down polo, I can't wear that polo because OJ wore it. Do you understand what I'm trying to say? And I'm not trying to be funny.
No. And I don't take it. You're right. The number isn't the issue here. It's the person who wore the number. I just said that if I were a football player for the Patriots and I knew the history behind that jersey number, I just might not want to wear it.
Yeah, and maybe if there's a couple of guys in between, it's not as bad. Like, I wouldn't want to be the next guy to wear it.
Right.
But also, I don't think you want to just take it out altogether because then it's almost like it's retired. It's sort of a weird spot to be in. And, you know, Aaron Hernandez, different than OJ in the sense that OJ was also a Hall of Fame player, right? And so, because sometimes guys don't want to wear the jersey number because they plan on retiring it, or the player was just so good that it hasn't been retired yet, but it's in one of those, like, limbo stages.
The Red Sox never gave out Roger Clemens' number.
Right. And then David Price just changed his number, and, like, they probably weren't going to give that one out or whatever.
Right,
anyway,
right.
But so, and I think it is a little bit different than, you know, what a player wears. Like, he talked about, like, a polo shirt. Like, what Aaron Hernandez wore to the games, I have no idea. I don't think anybody really remembers what he wore there. But you remember him on the field, and you remember the number, and, like, all the highlights and everything else with him. He is there. But
House's overall point is
right. He's right. Yeah, you should
know, 10 years after Aaron Hernandez is gone,
you say,
literally,
hey, right.
And you say, and they say, hey, do you want 81? Yeah, sure, I'll take it.
But that's what's amazing about it is because this was a headline. Like, this was the story. Like, the Buffalo Bills, this has been a long time. Like, Aaron Hernandez has been several years, but O.J. Simpson has been decades.
42 years since anybody's worn it in Buffalo.
And now all of a sudden it's being brought back up. So, because I wonder if on the early going they didn't give it out because they thought they were going to retire it, right? And maybe they were considering it because of how good of a player he was. And then you get to, oh, I don't know, 1994, and then you're like, well, God, we're not giving this out. And then time just passes, and then they're like, no, we're not giving that out.
I almost wonder why they didn't just retire it, you know, almost immediately. He had been gone from Buffalo for years.
Right.
You know, he was part of the NBC broadcast crew. He's doing movies. He's doing TV commercials.
But they didn't retire anybody's jersey because you said the list is Thurman Thomas, Jim Kelly, Bruce Smith. So those are all guys that played in the 90s.
Yeah.
So that's a different kind of list altogether.
So I guess maybe back then they said, we're not retiring anybody's number.
Maybe. Yeah. Maybe.
Where the Celtics have just the opposite.
Oh, everybody's up there.
Your number's retired.
Yeah, it's nice of them to do that. Yeah, I appreciate it.
They will get to the point where they're going to have to go to triple digits if they continue. Although, realistically, the Celtics have only got a couple more in the immediate future who might be put up there.
Yeah, I guess the question would be on Garnett, because obviously Pierce just already went up, and then it's going
to
be...
I don't think Garnett was here long enough, do you? Ray Allen, no.
Ray Allen, definitely not. Garnett, I could be talked into, because he had such an impact, and they won the whole thing. He was All-NBA that year. He was Defensive Player of the Year. I could be talked into that one,
yep.
But... I personally like the teams that do such few players. Like I like a small
Hall of Fame. Buffalo's only got three.
Yeah, so I like that. So I would probably be a no on Garnett. But then when you start comparing the guys that are up there, I would say, yeah, he didn't win as many titles, but he was more impactful on the one that he won than some of those guys that won a bunch.
Like, to your point, 10 years, 15 years from now, whenever it is, if I'm playing for the Patriots, I don't ever want to wear number 12. No, thank you.
Yeah, you wouldn't be able to. They would never give that one out.
No, that one will be retired.
Like 87, they probably won't give out.
It's fair.
I don't think. Everybody else, I mean,
Austin Seferian Jenkins. No, I'm kidding.
He's like, I want this. Matt Lacoste demands 87. Like, I don't know.
I'm not playing unless you give me that.
Although they gave 24 out after Ty Law, right? And yeah. I know part of it was, you know, I think Revis wore, but then so did Cyrus Jones, and now Stephon Gilmore's wearing it. And that Ty Law's, you know, I think that could be a guy that you would retire his jersey, but I guess not.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. We've got a couple of things that we're going to get to that we haven't yet touched upon, including yet another award for the Patriots quarterback, who we just mentioned a moment ago. Maybe a bit surprising, maybe not. We'll talk about that. And we'll get back to your calls as well after we...
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with autopay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without autopay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Friend. So the NFL on Fox put out a Twitter question. They said, who's the most underrated player in the NFL? Will Blackmon responded, 12-year NFL vet, Super Bowl champion for the Giants, BC guy and all that stuff. He said, Edelman, easily. Straight baller and clutch, never made a Pro Bowl. That's pretty underrated, isn't it?
But did he deserve to make a Pro Bowl? I mean, if you're looking at overall numbers, which is what gets you in there, they're not looking at clutch catches. Like, I don't think that's what necessarily gets you in. I think like the top end receivers, they put up such insane stats, especially now, that I don't know if he ever would be a Pro Bowler. Now, he was the Super Bowl MVP, and that was he was awesome in that game. He's been awesome in the playoffs. I was going to say somebody like Stephon Gilmore, who has made a Pro Bowl, I think he might be more underrated because that position, those guys are more like Jalen Ramsey, and they tell you how good they are, or like Richard Sherman. They have these huge personalities. Gilmore doesn't, and yet he's just as good as any of them.
The Twitter site Boston Sports Info has a great tweet about Julian Edelman. He's the only player in the history of the National Football League with greater than 40 yards in the regular season and postseason in the following categories. Regular season, he's passed for more than 40 yards. He's rushed for more than 40 yards, received, obviously. Punt return, kick return, all more than 40 yards.
Yeah, it's like it was like Kent State doing all that.
Postseason. More than 40 yards passing, more than 40 yards rushing, receiving, punt return, kick return. The only player in the history of the NFL with more than 40 yards in all of those categories.
Oh, I mean, he's incredible. I mean, how versatile he is. But, I mean, even all those things are cool, but they don't get you into the Pro Bowl.
Right.
You know, I mean, that's one of those things. I think he, after this past season, where he just won another Super Bowl and was such a big part, I think he is properly rated. At this point, I think people are having the Hall of Fame discussion about him, like straight-faced saying he should be in. Now, I think he's been awesome, but I don't think he's a Hall of Famer. But that conversation came up. You know, you don't have that about everybody. You don't sit there and have a back and forth where it's split right down the middle on
Danny Amendola.
Nobody's doing that. So I think he's gotten that respect really this year. And then he just gets a new contract today, and I think that's probably going to line up. Now, we've talked to Tommy Kern about him, who wrote a book with him, and he was saying that he's one of those guys that you're going to have to rip the jersey off of. Like, he may play until they say, it's enough. Like, you can't play anymore. But at the same time, I could see him and Brady playing three more years and then both.
Like, riding off into the sunset.
Yeah, it just wouldn't be as fun for either one of them without the other. And, like, we've seen Brady play a full season without Edelman because Edelman was hurt. But still, like, you knew he was coming back and he was on the team and all that stuff. So I could see those guys, you know, lining up their careers together.
Another stat from Boston Sports Info, and I'll tie this in a moment here. Tom Brady is 30-10 lifetime in elimination or closeout games. a winning percentage of 750. As they point out, when you hear or read about all these other star players' records in other leagues in these types of games, keep this in mind. 30-10 in elimination or closeout games in his career.
Wait, what? Tom Brady?
Tom Brady. 30-10 in elimination or closeout games in his career.
I don't understand the stat.
Elimination's easy, obviously.
So every playoff
if you lost a Super Bowl, that was you were eliminated.
But every single play, what's this? That doesn't make any sense. What am I missing here?
Are we incorporating like week 17s that mattered if you got into the playoffs or not?
I think that's what they're talking about, yes.
I don't get, what? How many times has that ever happened? I don't understand the stat. Call me dumb all you want. But
okay.
In football, there's no series. So how is it any different than his playoff stat? So he's 30-10 in the playoffs. So just say that. Right? Like, I just think it's worded very oddly.
Yep. And I bring it up because
every game he plays in the playoffs is a game 7. Every single one of them.
Those are all elimination games.
They're just playoff games. It's football playoffs. I feel like I'm taking crazy pills. Why are we saying it that way?
I bring it up because Tom Brady took to, I think it was Twitter yesterday, and he talked about how they were nominated for an Emmy for Outstanding Serialized Sports Documentary for Tom versus Time, to which Teddy Bruschi clapped back and said, really? We're celebrating nominations now?
Yeah, you don't do
good
that.
Good for
you don't,
Teddy.
You don't raise a banner
no,
for
No, but
noms.
That was good. I like
Teddy.
Right.
That was
well,
good point.
Now he's a winner, too.
They won that, yeah.
So Tom versus Time
Fitting.
Won the Sports Emmy for Outstanding Serialized Sports Documentary.
I watched every second.
It was must-see TV around here.
It was very good. I remember watching it during the Super Bowl run when they were out in Minnesota. They, you know, lost, and I thought the last episode of Tom v. Time, he was going to retire the way he was so
good night,
sad.
Everybody.
I was like, oh, no, don't do it. Don't do it. And Giselle talked about how underappreciated he was, the whole thing. No, that was compelling. Also, it was 15 minutes, which is really good for my attention span. That was very
well
helpful
for you there.
So there's a Steph Curry one is out now. It's not Steph versus Time. Is it Steph versus the game? Something like that. But anyway, I saw a preview for it last night. I haven't watched it yet. But if you could pick any athlete right now that Tom Brady has done his, and you can't pick Steph Curry because he currently has one, if you could have anybody else get the Tom v. Time treatment and do a Facebook documentary, who would you pick? Greg Oden?
Maybe not so much.
No.
Yeah, probably not.
Could go behind the scenes, though.
It is Steph versus the game.
Steph versus the game. Yeah. So that one's out right now.
I'd want to, honestly, LeBron James.
Oh, God.
Because it
what?
Would, it would be even more exposure, like, just expose this guy for the clown that he is. Especially now, like, in L.A.
He's got a stupid show right now where
yeah,
he talks in a barbershop.
That's a phony, like, baloney. Like, that's just, like, a bunch of guys talking. Like, I want people following him around and just watch his just ridiculousness.
I think Antonio Brown would be pretty good.
Same reason.
Yeah, he's nuts. Yeah, but I don't hate Antonio Brown.
Yet.
Yeah. Well, wait till you get him on this serialized documentary.
I think he'd
actually
be pretty good.
Odell Beckham would be excellent
Odell
in
Beckham.
Cleveland.
He and Jarvis Landry, like a buddy cop kind of show.
What about, like, J.J. Watt?
Nope.
Not into box jumps?
No, he's kind of a tryhard. Like, I just...
How about Mike Trout, so we can actually maybe find out if this guy has a pulse?
I don't think that would work either. You can eliminate all baseball players. I don't want to see a baseball player documentary.
You don't want to hear Mike Trout say something like this?
What are we doing this for? Who are we doing this for? Why are we doing this?
No, he has all the answers. Mike Trout's doing just fine. I wouldn't want to watch a Mike Trout documentary. Give me... It's got to be probably football or basketball.
Okay, so
that's what it's gonna be.
The pool a little bit.
Yeah, there's some big stars there. There's some big talent there. I like your Odell Beckham one. That'd be good.
He might be interesting.
Yeah.
Maybe something with
Vontaze Burfict. You think that'd be good?
John Gruden?
Guys, we're really just pulling for the Raiders to get
the Hard Knocks. When are they going to announce that, by the way? We haven't gotten a single Hard Knocks update.
By this time last year, we already knew. So that's
they got to be talking to the Raiders. They're the only. They make so much sense. Anything else
would
be
Mark Davis. Can we just have a Mark Davis show?
Between Mark Davis, Antonio Brown, John
Gruden.
Or the
Jets, too.
Vontaze Burfict.
Jets would be pretty good with Le'Veon Bell feuding with Adam Gase.
Yeah. Yeah, that's true. Crazy Eyes.
I want them to film
Gase.
It now, then.
They should do a Crazy Eyes documentary. Like, Adam, you can look at the camera. Look at the camera.
Hey, what's over here?
Forget it. Guys, we're going to need more cameras.
Can I give Jason some really bad news?
Oh my God, what? Sure. So, let me guess, Thursday sold out already?
Well, not yet. They haven't put the tickets on sale yet. That's
free popcorn
at 3 p.m.
for kids.
But let me just say, Jason Rossi was really, really negative about this whole intra-squad
there
scrimmage.
It is, Dale.
being put forth by the Bruins.
I don't know why
you're Thursday
so upset about this. This is a great idea. It's going to really keep them right on track to winning the Cup.
All right, so let me take you way back in time to, like, Steve Buckley time.
Jeez.
Let me go back to 1946.
Time machine, quantum realm.
I remember it.
Before the World Series in early October, the Boston Red Sox played an exhibition game at Fenway Park against an all-star team. This is early October. Ted Williams gets hit on the elbow by a curveball thrown by Mickey Hafner.
Oh, Mickey Hafner.
He has x-rays, no damage, arms swelled up like a boiled egg. He couldn't swing the bat again until 4 days later, one day before the World Series, where he proceeded to go 5-for-25, no home runs, just one run, RBI. They lost in seven games. He went 0-for-4 in the last game. All of Jason Rossi's nightmares for Boston took place in Boston in 1946.
This is my point. What are they doing? What is the point of it? Oh, great. Like, so you get to put it, go trot out in front of the fans. I get that. That's fine. But this is the Stanley Cup series. This is it.
Do you think Mickey Hafner did that on purpose, by the way? I bet there were some.
Maybe.
I bet there was,
I
like
was reading an article about
was
this.
Was there once. Like a mob tie-in? Mickey Hafner? They're like, listen, this is what we got to do. Here's a golden opportunity. You get to Hafner. You tell him, plunk Ted Williams. Then you put all the money in the world on the Reds.
St. Louis Cardinals?
Cardinals. Whoever it might have been.
I forget. But anyway, so you've got.
Ooh, that is tough to hear.
By the way, how dumb was it to play an exhibition game before the World Series?
Well,
early
October.
You got to get those ticket sales in where you can.
You got to, make hay while the sun's shining or whatever. It was the Cardinals. Thank you. Close the loop on that. Yeah, that is.
But this is just set up so poorly. It's. I get it. It's fun. I understand that. It just seems like something they would do in August, not 4 days before the puck drops for the Stanley Cup.
You got to think outside the bun. That's what you got to do. 11 days in between games? What are you going to do? Just skate harder at practice? No, you can't do that. No, you can't. It's not the same.
The football.
And by the way, you know what they really need this for? The terrible ice over at the Garden. Some of the worst ice in the NHL.
This will help. They don't skate enough on the ice.
Get over there.
That actually is a good idea.
Great point by me. It was humid yesterday. Had turned the AC on yesterday. It was so hot.
Actually, I turned it on for the first time, too.
It was hot.
Yeah.
Steamy on the second floor.
Dragon's Lair is cool year-round, but the upstairs, hot, hotter than blazes.
Wait till it becomes a playpen.
I know. It's coming up.
It'll be steamy down there. Mm-hmm. It'll be smelly.
It's already smelly. We're kind of used to the odor down there now.
Well, a different odor.
Yeah, it's
because you don't actually soil your pants down there, do you?
Tell some of your business what I do down there.
Well, never mind. I probably don't want to.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
No, anyway. Couple of things that we didn't get to earlier in the program.
What else you got?
Richard?
Yes, I will go first. Yesterday, Dale, as part of the Red Sox 12-2 win, my guy up at the plate.
Which
again.
Guy?
Oh, you're going to hear it.
The pitch is swung on and belted deep to left field, way back to the track, to the wall, and gone. A two-run shot for Michael Chavis. And there's that power we talked about, his ninth home run.
My guy, Michael Chavis.
What does Carrabas call him? The unicorn?
No, the ice horse, I believe.
Ice horse.
He's the ice horse. Yeah. I think that's official, too. It's on Baseball Reference. He's the ice horse.
So when they do the weekend where they wear nicknames, he's going to have ice horse on the back?
I guarantee you he does.
Please.
I think his girlfriend's even done like a video saying something about rooting on the ice horse. So they're all in on ice horse. I don't really know exactly how it came to be, but I love it. So we're going
sounds
ice horse.
Dirty. Is it dirty? Or
it is. It's a sexual position.
Hey, really?
The ice horse. No, I don't think that it is. No, it's not. It's not. Don't look it up. But he's the ice horse.
Don't give that a bang.
Don't do it. So he is ninth home run of the season. He's hitting .296 with a .981 OPS in 26 games. So as I was watching the Red Sox yesterday, I was doing some thinking. Some long-term thinking.
Wow, you had a sit.
There are three options right now for Dustin Pedroia. and not even for Dustin Pedroia, more so for Dave Dombrowski as it concerns Dustin Pedroia. Let me know if you think there are any other options and or which option you like the most.
Okay.
I'm going to break them down alphabetically. A, option A, he's a backup. Dustin Pedroia, backup. Option B, you let him rehab forever. Let him play at Pawtucket, Portland, Pawtucket, Portland, sell tickets, sign autographs. He's a fan favorite for some fans. C, designate for assignment. What do you guys think? Is there another option?
All of the
there?
Above.
You can't do all of them. Is there another option there for him? Because here's my concern. You might be saying, hey, Rich, that's kind of cold. This guy is a World Series champion and a former MVP. And you're right. But we're not living in the past. We're living in the now. And I think that Dustin Pedroia, if you activate him on the roster, and let's say hypothetically everybody's healthy, which I know is nearly impossible. But for this scenario, everybody's healthy. You activate Dustin Pedroia and you cut either Steve Pierce or Eduardo Nunez or a pitcher. You cut them. They're gone. A week later, Pedroia hurts himself, goes on the DL. Then who are you calling up? You already got that guy's gone now. So I don't think you can rely on him. Now, what might keep him around more is if there are multiple injuries, like Brock Holt or whoever. And then you're like, well, we got a free roster spot anyway. But it's not for Michael Chavis. Michael Chavis
about
is
Eduardo
the second
Nunez
baseman.
Being the DFA guy.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. But then, so he might be because they're gonna hold on to Pedroia. Right. But then when Pedroia gets hurt in another week, and now Nunez is gone, a guy that was pretty good as far as depth on the team. So that's why I think it's probably going to be option C.
I'm going to go with B so he can go around
rehab
sell
forever,
tickets.
Not a bad option.
Because this is like what the Bruins are doing on Thursday, just selling tickets to watch a bunch of guys.
We're really salty about this. Really salty.
What else you got?
So we mentioned the San Jose Sharks face elimination tonight against the St. Louis Blues at morning skate today.
Yeah, how they doing?
They had a fight.
That a fight?
A forward by the name of Lucas Radial, who is, one of their black aces, and a backup goaltender by the name of Aaron Dell got in a fight. They had to separate them on the ice.
A backup goalie's fighting? I like the fire there. I like the fight. That's good stuff, no?
Thursday night.
Thursday night. You could see it. Zeno Mack takes on, who do they got?
I don't know.
Clifton? No, Clifton plays. Camper versus Zeno Mack. That might be a good fight.
But one of the common themes throughout the course of the Stanley Cup playoffs have been problems with the officiating in the NHL.
It sucks.
Not unique to the National Hockey League. Other sports have complained about it as well, including the NFL.
NBA's got issues.
But don't you worry.
You got to fix?
We've got our best guy on it.
Good.
Grapes Cherry knows how to fix it.
Are you suggesting again your idea of putting a little microchip in their ears?
Always. Listen, you should listen. Listen to me.
Okay.
It makes sense. If you could go to the referees and say, hand pass, boom. And you say, well, there might be a mistake.
I say just blow the horn. And you say,
no, because what you do there is that you show the referees aren't in charge. I had my run-ins with the referees many times, but they are in charge. Never apologize. If you make a mistake, you make a mistake. But they should have some communication. They got these guys in Toronto sitting there with 50,000 TVs. They're doing nothing. If they could tell these guys, hand pass. Again, they missed it. This one over the glass. Now, if they could just say, over the glass, they could blow it right away. Nobody would know the difference. And, don't bug the referees just when they're wrong and you can see they're having trouble. Makes sense to me anyhow.
Repeating everything three times might bug them too.
I like how he wanted it to be clear. Like,
hand pass.
He's like, don't have a conversation with them during the game. Don't distract them. Don't ask them about what they thought about Game of Thrones.
Hand pass.
Only say that. Only say what the calls are
over
on the ice.
Over the glass.
You don't want to bother them. But
hand pass.
I like the guy that he was with too. Is just like
Ron McClain.
He goes, you're on with the earpiece again.
The patience of
he brings it up every single
Ron
night.
Ron says, can't we just blow the horn?
Yeah. No, we need an earpiece. Get these guys all mic'd up, every single one of them. I guess that could help.
Well, it's just a thought.
Are you suggesting again your idea of putting a little microchip in their ears?
Always. Listen, you should listen. Listen to me.
Listen to me.
I don't know.
I think he's got his finger on the pulse, my friend.
Yikes.
Tickets go on sale at 3 o'clock today for the big
Rossi's already in line on a waiting queue.
Scrimmage. So.
He can't wait.
Rossi, you're in, huh?
I'll go to it, sure. Yeah. Keeps buying, I heard, so it's good.
For everybody.
I think Jack is already petitioning Nesson to do the game.
I can't wait to watch the pregame
live
at 6.
I'm there.
I can't wait.
They pay the dough, we do the show.
Uh-huh.
We'll see you guys tomorrow. Goodbye.
Goodbye. Goodbye. Thank you for stopping by. Goodbye. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Thank you.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.